Christie, international speaker and recognized as a trendsetter in women's wellness and leadership programs. And you are listening to the SOB Radio Network.
Hello again, and here we are with the third episode of How to Transform Your Relationships. And this one is, as I said in the at the end of the other episode, this one is going to be a little bit more difficult in its content because we are discussing challenging relationships, even toxic relationships. And here is why even women at our age, 50 and over, are really affected with that. Sometimes we are in relationships because we just feel that we don't have any other way. We need maybe the security, or for whatever reason, you stay in a relationship that may be more than challenging. It can not only shorten your life, it definitely will be responsible for for a lot of the way you feel about yourself. It will affect your self-esteem. It will affect the joy you have in your life. It will affect, of course, the relationship you have with your partner. And I'm talking about a relationship you have with a partner that has some issues, that has some problems. And let me tell you something. I have, about 10 years ago, I didn't even know about bipolar behavior and how much this has grown. I always knew there were people who were narcissistic, who were self-absorbed and you know, all of that. But there is a real disorder that I personally have been affected with, not in my personal relationship, but in relationships with business partners that I found extremely attractive, and then it really went sour, and I really was asking myself, what went wrong? What is happening? Of course, in a personal relationship, a bipolar partner is so much more difficult to handle, really damaging. And I find more and more women coming to me, coming kind of out of the closet, because not many talk about this behavior that some women have to endure, where their partner is narcissistic or bipolar, which of course makes them abusive in so many ways. So let me just start here. Excuse me, with actually, I'm sorry, I had him just getting over a cold, so excuse my voice, which is a little bit rough. So, relationships really build, form the crux of our social existence, right? Everything is about relationships. It starts with ourselves, and then our whole life is about relationships, because we don't live alone. We are tribes. We come from a long history of tribal people. We love to live in groups. We love to look for the partner that not only matches us for joy, but to start families, and then later on to enjoy the rest of our lives with. So, and I do understand, we all understand, that no relationship is perfect. Even good relationships have small periods of unpleasant, even bad behavior from either partner. But toxic relationships are really dysfunctional relationships. And the partner that displays this behavior, where we say the toxic partner, is inappropriately controlling and manipulating, and very often on a daily basis. So toxic relationships are characterized by very often underlying insecurity, dominance, control, self-centeredness, up to narcissistic behavior. And these are typical traits of relationships that are very, very difficult, that are emotionally or even physically damaging. And the common signs of a toxic relationship include behaving like you have control over the other partner, or if your partner exerts control over you by being selfish and demanding. If he is confusing the feeling of real love with emotional hunger or desperation, just needing you to behave in a certain way or align to his needs. Or using emotional blackmail as key to manipulate you to get what they want. And very often, past errors or past things that they believe you have done wrong or are unforgivable. These partners that are insecure and really behaving in a toxic way bring up those points consistently. And it may be something that happened 10 or 20 years ago. They find a way of bringing it up over and over again. And this is, of course, a way of manipulation. So if you are experiencing toxicity in your relationship, you need to ask yourself a couple of questions. Firstly, you need to do a heart and a gut check, because your heart and your gut are those areas that really know what's going on. Not in your brain, not finding excuses, but real, raw feeling. Okay. So if you are questioning yourself or doubting your decisions, despite the feeling that your gut and heart know that you're right, then you are living in an unhealthy relationship. And furthermore, there should be zero tolerance for physical abuse. If you are being physically abused, an intervention, of course, should be performed immediately. And in few cases, it might lead to the separation of you from your partner. And that may be really, really necessary. And then there's another question you need to ask yourself, and that is whether or not you want to continue with the relationship, assuming that it has the capability to transform into a better relationship. And if this is not possible, then the best answer would be to walk away. If you were not able to find any way to open communication, respect, and reduce the toxicity in your relationship, the best answer would be to move away from it before it makes you depressed. There are so many women who have just resigned in a relationship and cover their depression up with all kinds of things. Alcohol, of course, is one of the things. Then drugs, yes. Even medication, prescription drugs. Shopping. Or just resigning themselves into staying at home, not being very sociable, because so many women are afraid that it will show that, or that they need to talk about the relationship, and they want to hide it, they want to cover up. But if for any reason you are just living in a challenging relationship, there are ways to transform your relationship into a less challenging one. It's very difficult to change your partner. And you know it from yourself. Whenever you want to change something in yourself, it is not easy. It takes a lot of motivation, effort, the biggest why you want to change something. And there is a tendency to always go back in your old behavior because we are kind of creatures of nature. We are running our programs until it becomes too painful or something really, or our health is threatened in a major way. Let's say you are a smoker and you feel that it's not really harming you. But on your next checkup, your physician tells you that you need to have a CAT scan, or they found something that they need to further explore. And on your next visit, your physician may tell you that if you do not stop smoking right away, you may be dead in a month or two. You are in great danger. So that will make you stop. Okay, so dramatic incidences in your life will be a catalyst for change in behavior. But otherwise, it's difficult. So if you see that there is a chance to improve your relationship, look for at least one positive trait in your partner that helps you to strengthen your relationship. Doing this can help you look at things differently, and it can become an antidote for the unpleasantries or the toxicity in your relationship, as long as it's not abusive. And talk to someone neutral who can help you to see things from a different perspective. There's nothing wrong in going to a relationship counselor or a mentor or a coach, as they help you. That's their job. Let me tell you, I believe that painful relationships, if you decide to leave a relationship, can only be loved free. Why? Because if not, you will stay attached to the emotional strings, to the frequencies that are almost like connecting your energy field and your memory to that of the person that you left because you couldn't stay in this relationship anymore, because it was abusive. But it ended anyway, and you have painful memories. So here's a way to love a relationship free. Feel grateful for the lesson, and then say goodbye. Take yourself out of the relationship by mentally cutting the energetic ties, because they are like strings of energy lined with the experience of pain you had with this person. And in my program, Prosper on Purpose, and one of the very important models in this program is Transform Your Relationships. I actually take you through releasing painful memories of past relationships that are still holding you back, that are still lingering, that are still occupying your mind and your heart, and of course have an effect on your physical body. Why? Because every thought, every feeling you have actually creates a chemical reaction in your physical body. It affects your hormones, it affects your adrenal glands, it affects your nervous system. It makes your body acidic and toxic. That's why it is important to love free painful relationships. And you may have these internal dialogues that go, why is this happening to me? I do everything I can to make this relationship work. Or if it was in the past, you just say, I did everything I could to have made this relationship work. And yes, now I would like to talk about something that becomes more and more apparent to me. And even in my own circle of friends, some of my closest friends. And as I said, I have experienced it in my business relationships as well. And that's bipolar and narcissistic relationships. And I have read a little bit about what it really means, because I have only seen the effects of it. But what is bipolar, really? And Dr. Russ Federman is quite an expert on that. And I want to share something with you about that made me understand the severity of a bipolar, being in a bipolar relationship. Because many relationships with bipolar or narcissistic partners damage the other, and it damages their self-worth. So narcissistic individuals, and this comes from Dr. Russ now, narcissistic individuals have developed the capability and capacity to inflate, expand upon, and intensify their strengths. You see, this is why we are even attracted to those people or these partners. They learn to lead with them in such manner that their experience of feeling small or vulnerable is masked by their presentation of just the opposite. And Dr. Russ says, the implication is not that the narcissistic strengths are a sham, but more that the narcissistic is strongly invested in his or her strengths because they are employed in the service of protecting or buffering the self against the experience of insufficiency. So temporarily, this is not only for the partners or those in their circles, this display, but they do this to themselves. They themselves hide behind their narcissistic mask. And I know I said we are talking about bipolar here, but narcissistic self-perception and bipolar are very closely related and almost go hand in hand. And an additional aspect of narcissistic self-perception entails the concept of grandiosity. Grandiosity refers to an unrealistic sense of superiority, a sustained view of oneself as better than others. And the Merriam-Webster defines grandiosity as the quality or state of appearing or trying to appear more important or valuable than is the case. Imagine the bipolar disordered narcissist who begins to experience an upswing in mood. Their mental processes begin to move faster, energy is up, and emotions progress toward euphoria and a strong optimism. We are attracted to those people until we take them into our lives and share, give them everything we have, and then we find out that this is a toxic relationship and that this behavior is very, very damaging. You see, this kind of euphoria and optimism and strong optimism is very, very attractive. And this aspect of the personality absolutely welcomes this kind of elevation because it provides the inflation and elevation that fuels core aspects of the narcissistic personality. Essentially, narcissistic grandiosity is fed by bipolar elevation and vice versa. Oh my goodness, right? So I wanted to share this with you, and we may speak a little bit more about this at another time. because it is growing. These people, and I want to make you aware that maybe you are even in a relationship with a bipolar person and don't really quite understand why you are suffering silently, why you feel that you don't have a voice, that you always accommodate, that the other always has a tendency to put you down, to make you feel small. But they do everything right, and they know everything better. So, of course, there are statistics, and statistics says that over 1%, which is, you put 100 people there, one of them is bipolar, narcissistic, and creates a lot of pain for themselves, for those who are in relationship with them. And if you are married to a bipolar person, it is a very, very difficult life. And you have to ask yourself, is it worth it? Because unless the other person agrees that they have this condition and get and go on medication, and there is medication available today, this person will stay in denial and you will suffer. You will continue to suffer. If you are in a relationship like this, I want you to get help. You need to make a decision. What is important in your life? I love you, I embrace you, and your life is precious. You are responsible for your own happiness. So do not allow anybody dictate how you should feel. And this is it for this episode. I know it was a little bit heavy duty, but it needed to be discussed. It needs to be brought into the light. Next week, we are going to talk about another aspect of relationships that are a little bit challenging but not toxic. And it's much more fun to talk about a challenging part in a relationship that actually can turn into something that makes a relationship better. Because something that has a strong energy but is challenging has also a potential for being a beautiful catalyst for something fantastic and positive and wonderful. Okay, so that's it for today. Have a wonderful week, and we connect again next week when we go into our last episode, the fourth part in how to transform your relationships. And until then, love yourself. You are responsible for your own happiness. Bye-bye for now.